not sure how today's going to go. I know. I've got a message that I am busting at the seams to preach. And there's an expectancy in the spirit realm. I hope you can feel it. I know Stu could feel it up here on the platform. But God's going to do something amazing. And we need to have expectant hearts today. As God is about to move in your life, in our community, in this church, He's going to do great things today. You believe that?
Yeah.
If you believe that, why don't you confess out loud after me? Today my heart is open.
My ears are alert
to grow and change.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, why don't you take your seats? Thank you, God. Father God, before we come to this word today, we just pray that you would consume this room, Lord God, with the power and the authority of your presence here today. Father God, we open our hearts up to you, Lord God, because we know you're going to transform us today. We have expectancy in our hearts today, Lord God, for a move. Lord God, we do not want today to be the Sunday that was last week, but we want today to be new. We want today to be fresh, Lord God. Father, we want to see the power of the Holy Ghost moving in our lives today. Father God, we are expectant today that our lives would be changed, that we would be healed, that we would be set free, that chains would be broken, that our mindsets would shift, Lord God, that what we've been believing for, we would see come to pass today, Lord God. We stand on your word today that says we are redeemed, that we are provided for, that we are loved beyond any circumstance or the condition of our heart or beyond our reaction. You love us still, Lord God. Father, we stand on your word today that this is the house of the Lord and that in your house you reign, Lord God, and we are your people in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, I want to share this morning a little bit about expectation. Having expectancy, it's the word for City Point North that Pastor Rick has said over us as a church this year, expectancy. And sometimes I've got to wonder, and I think to myself, what is my expectancy? Because expectancy can actually go two ways. See, sometimes we are held back through our expectancy. We are limited because of our expectation. Let me give you an example. You're here today, and do we expect what we saw last week, that we'll just get fed a good word of God and that we'll feel good and that we'll go out of here and have another week looking to next Sunday? And if that's your expectancy in your heart, that's what you're going to get. But if you're here today and go, well, I can't wait to be at church on Sunday because I'm going to hear the word of God and it's going to transform my life. I'm going to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and we're going to see revival happening in our church. People are going to get saved today. People's lives and eternities will shift forever. Today very well may be the greatest day I've ever had at City Point North. If you had that, I speak that you would receive that today. So expectancy can be a limitation, but it can also be what propels us into the future that God has designed for us. So I want to read a story in the Word of God about Moses and his expectation. And it comes from Exodus. And you remember when Israel first was came out of Egypt and Moses led them. About 41 days later, approximately here and there, there's a bit of debate on that one, but about 40 days later, they came to a place called Rephidim. And Israel, after 40 days, ran out of water. And so they started to complain and contend with Moses. And first of all, I love what Moses' response was. Moses straight away and cried out to God. He cried out. Have you ever been in a place in your life where it's no longer about just a prayer, it's a cry? Have we all been there? We cry out to God because we know that God has His word and He has His promises for our life, but we aren't seeing it happen. See, Moses knew that there was a call, and all of Israel saw in Egypt the amazing things that God had just done for them. And sometimes we have seen the amazing things that God does. We just saw today the testimony of God's healing power. We saw the pictures with our own eyes, not over somewhere else. It was at City Point West, our very own church. The power of God. You know, it was only a year and a half ago, there was gold dust at Carindale on people's desks, pastor's desk. There was gold dust in the room. You know, we hear of these stories, but they're happening here amongst us. And sometimes we see this stuff. And it wells up inside of us because we haven't yet received our miracle. You know what I'm talking about? We haven't yet seen our deliverance in our world. And it should bring us to a point of crying out. So here's Moses with millions of people, delivering them from Egypt, from the thing that's held them back. And they all had faith in them as the waters parted and they walked through the waters and they were filled with faith one day. Like you were the day that you gave your life to God. Filled with faith. Do you remember that day where nothing could hold you back? You remember when the day you were at a prayer meeting and you felt the presence, nothing could hold you back. I remember that day. I was about 12 years old when I think I said it at the leaders meeting, the panel leaders meeting we did last. I might need some water if that's okay. And yeah, the presence of God just encountered me in a massive way. Thanks, bro. In a massive way. You know, when I was about 12 years old, but life goes on. Kids happen, family happens, hurt comes, heartache comes, and it's very easy to remember. To forget, sorry, but we need to remember. We need to remember. There's times in your life that God has done things for you. And I truly believe he does these amazing things in our life so that we can put a stake in the ground that will be there for the rest. And as we're walking through our journey, we can look back and we'll see that stake and we go, you know what, I remember when God was faithful to his word for me. I can see, I have that stake, that flag there, and I remember. And my faith right now is struggling, but I can place my faith in that, in that miracle that happened in my world. So here's Israel. And Moses is crying out to God. So we're just going to pick up the story in Exodus 17, verse 5. And this is what it says. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. That rod for Moses was the flag. In other words, God's saying, remember when you used that rod and the miracles of God, the plagues happened with that rod. And so what God is reminding Moses of right here is the miracles of the past to build his faith again. And you know what the devil does is he comes to our world and tries to take our focus from being heavenly to the instant, the moment that we're in right now. And what God does is he reminds you through his spirit of the amazing things that he has done in our lives. When we take a hold of that, when we take a hold of the rod, the flag, the memory, the feeling of what God has done in and through our world, maybe in family members, in church, in your family here at the church, when we take hold of those things, faith starts to build up inside of us again. So important. Verse 6. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock of Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Have you noticed that God sent Moses with the elders? He sent Moses with the elders. Elders here doesn't represent priests, doesn't represent pastors. It represents wise people. Represents wisdom. People that have influence. There's times in our lives of breakthrough where God will set you up with someone beside you. Breakthrough doesn't happen alone. Breakthrough will not happen alone. God will always bring a companion. Sometimes it gets restricted all the way back to your spouse. But sometimes God is trying to bring a friend into your world. God is trying to bring a church member into a work colleague, somebody to stand with you. And I know here today that there are many people in this place needing breakthrough right now. Needing breakthrough right now, Jesus. And God has wisdom beside you, wisdom around you. Come on, church. We don't do this journey alone. It was never made like that. That we would do. Do we remember Pastor Benning? The video we watched of Pastor Benning preaching, and I love what he said. When we get to heaven, we make account for our lives, and we go before God, and God's like, "Okay, great. What did you do with your gifts? What did you do with the call of God? You know, what did you do with the anointing that I gave you? What the people that I gave you?" I go, God, I tried my best. We did this and this, but, you know, there was limitations around me. And you know, well, I had this wife and I had three kids and I had to look after the family. And, you know, I needed this and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, well, Graham, I didn't want your best. I wanted your best with Ryan's best, with Lou's best, with Shane's best, with your parents' best, with Jesse's best, with Stu's best. See, God is wanting to do a miracle in your life. And you are limitating the power and the authority that God has in your life because of your understanding. But we don't limitate what God wants to do in our life because of our education, because we have somebody beside us who understands the theology, the Word of God, and they can coach us through these things. See, we don't judge the power of God and what He wants to do in your world because of your experiences. What we do is we unite together and we use the experiences of the person sitting right beside us. And we go, well, they received a miracle and I saw it on the screen. So I choose to have the faith that they had to receive theirs. And that's now going to be my faith and I'm going to receive mine in Jesus' name. So the question is expectancy. It's expectancy, isn't it? Do we have expectancy to see that I will pray today like I've always prayed and never received a miracle, but because of my faith, I'll pray again. But really in our heart is the expectancy that God will do what He's always done, which is nothing. Or are we going to choose a new expectancy today, a new vision, new eyes, a new spirit man inside of us that has an expectancy that miracles happen here, miracles happen there. So I choose to stand my faith upon that because that's what the Word of God says. And I'm going to receive it today. And you know what? I'm mine and get it today. People are believing for amazing things in their world in this very congregation right now. And you haven't received the answer that you've been asking for. But when we pray today, today is the day that the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and we will be glad in Him. Amen? So we have expectancy in our heart, don't we? That God will do what His Word said He will do and full stop. Hasn't happened before, but it will happen today. Now I wonder, did we come today with expectancy that revival might just happen today? Did we come today with expectancy that as the band worships that the Spirit of God is going to flow in this place? Because I can tell you, I choose every single day, every single time we walk through these doors, I choose to see in the Spirit and I imagine it in the Spirit, even if I'm lacking the actual spiritual faith, I start to imagine the Spirit of God moving all around the auditorium. Come on. And like a river of God. I was a little boy when I heard the church always talk about the river of God, the river of God. And I remember thinking as a child, come on, what are we talking about here? You know, I've never seen a river in the church and it didn't make sense with my natural. But I was growing up in a faith atmosphere of what people were seeing in the spiritual, the river of God. Today, will we stand in the river? Amen. River of expectancy in our world? Or are we just dabbling our toes, little bit of faith. I'm still going to hold on and pray again, though I'm struggling to even expect that God would fulfill his word. Or are we going to choose today to take a step? Is there anyone with me that could take a step into the river of faith today in your life? Is there anybody that will take a step into the river of healing today, where that river flows, that the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit is? Is there anyone in this place today that will choose to believe that there is the river of the Holy Spirit around us right now as the word of God is coming forth in power and the authority and the anointing of God? Would you choose to today to believe that you are wearing a coat that is the anointing, it's the colors. You remember the story in the Bible, a coat is upon you of anointing. Would we choose today that there is a coat of healing upon you? That there is a coat of breakthrough upon you? The coat, what it does is it equips you with words. The Bible says that the Spirit of God will bring you words in the time of need to what to say. Not to worry about what to wear. Not to worry about what to say. In other words, God will make you look good in the time that you need to look good in front of people. God will give you the words to speak when you need to speak to people. Amen. Do we choose today with expectant hearts to walk around like we are wearing this coat of many colors? Yeah. Many colors. Many colors. Power, authority, healing, many colors. Giftings, talents, breakthrough, authority. That when you speak, it's a two-edged sword, cutting through the soul and the heart, through the mind and the spirit. It's a two-edged sword when you speak. Do we choose today to have an expectancy in our own lives? You know, as I'm speaking here now, I know that there's people in this place today and you're struggling in your mind with the way you think. And you know, you need to know that God loves you beyond condition. You need to know today, and you need to choose to think as the Holy Spirit is in this room. You need to choose right now to accept that there is a love beyond any other love. That is pure and it's holy. It's the love that was always created to be. It's the love that you've never experienced before. It's the love that no human has been able to example to you, but it's the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's for you today. I just want you, as we continue to preach this message, do why don't you just sit there and just say in your mind, you can't say it right now, but by the end of this message you will. You'll say, God loves me. God loves me. Pure love. I love that. The love of God. So we fast forward about 40 years. And Israel is standing on the brink of entering into the promised land. And Moses has a sister by the name of Miriam. And the Jewish tradition says that the rock that Moses originally struck was accredited to Miriam spiritually. And that manna was accredited to Moses spiritually. And that the cloud that covered them in day and in night was accredited to Aaron spiritually. And so we come 40 years later, and God has a plan. Now, could you imagine being Moses for a moment? You had a vision in your heart. You had a dream deep down inside of you. God gave you something for your life when you were a child. You knew that your existence had to have more to it than just this. God placed something. 40 years has gone by for Moses. Maybe for you, 17 years has gone by. 4 or 5 years has gone by. Maybe 30 years has gone by. Maybe you're a senior here today and you still feel like the dreams that God had in your life still haven't come forward for you. Here's Moses, 40 years of complaining, of whinging, of all of these people. You remember when Jethro first came, that he had to help Moses to counsel all these people, and so they broke up the Israelite camp into different numbers with different leaders to counsel. You know, the burden must have been huge. But there was a dream in his heart. But after 40 years, his sister died, Miriam, and the rock dried up. See, because the story tells us that that rock that he initially struck followed Israel all around for 40 years. That's how they had water. It was a miracle of God. And when Miriam died, the rock dried up. And Israel once again started to complain, came to Moses, asking for the answers, And this is what Numbers 27 to 12 says. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod. You and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together. Speak to the rod before their eyes. You'll notice there's no elders involved now. And the reason for that is because as you step into your authority and you have people around, God will lift you up and you will become a leader of men. And that's what happened to Moses, is at the beginning of the journey, Moses didn't have the authority he needed to lead the people. And so what God did is he set him around people that had authority in Israel and that endorsed. And when the miracle of the rock happened through Moses, God lifted up Moses as Moses lifted up God by striking the rock and the whole of Israel seeing the miracle. And so now 40 years later, there's no elders involved, but get everyone together, get the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes and it will yield its water again. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation for their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? I would say that Moses' tone was like that because his sister just died. And he was struggling in his relationship and his faith with God right now. And God was trying to get Moses to do something that Moses felt ill-equipped to do. Even though Moses had seen the miracles, the power of God. Has anyone ever felt the presence of God in your world?
Yes.
Yeah. And then God asks you to do something and you feel like he's not even with you. That's where Moses was at right now. Verse 12, then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me. Sorry, I missed verse 11. Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and the water came out abundantly. I love that. And the congregation and their animals drank. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given you. The grace of God. The grace of God is that if you choose to have the expectancy for the level of miracle that you've seen before, God will still fulfill it. Did you see that in the scripture? Did you see how God asked Moses the second time to speak to the rock? And he did what he's always known. He struck the rock. Disobedience. So even in disobedience, God will still fulfill his call and word on your life. Did you know that the power of God will still flow through you if you're fulfilling his purpose, even though you're living sin nature? See, we can be disobedient to the word of God, yet God will still use us. The grace of God. The grace of God. You know, when Jesus came, Jesus was grace before the law. But he created the law because he's God. So he fulfilled the law. And then he came and he said that I didn't come to keep you to it, but to fulfill it. In other words, the grace of Jesus and the law that he created, they both abide. So our sin nature and our sinful acts have their consequence, but because of his grace, he will still use you and I.
Amen.
He will still use you. He will still use you. But here's the clincher. Moses never got to enter the promised land. Moses never got to go where God had always ordained, destined. And the pride of his journey would have been, wouldn't it, to lead Israel into that promised land. Because of his disobedience, he didn't get to go the places that God had in store for him. But God was still using him through the process.
Yeah, wow.
Church, this is what I want to say today. You might know that God has been using you. You might know that God has an anointing upon you. You might pray for people's circumstances and see an outcome. You might at times feel the presence of God in your bedroom. But if we aren't living lives in obedience to God, in other words, stepping out in new expectation every time he asks, God asked Moses to do something he had never done before. God wanted to prop Moses up in front of Israel and give him the power and the authority to simply speak just as the Father in heaven spoke and things were created when the world was created. He was giving Moses that power and that authority to speak and the rock would bring water. But Moses' expectation in his time of struggle and sorrow allowed him to simply do what he had always done. And I'm sure in that moment he would have been happy with the miracle that God just did in his world. Wouldn't anybody be happy to strike a rock and see water come out? But here's the thing, if God asks you to speak to the rock, speak to the rock, because he has a new day for you. He has something fresh for you. He has a new authority. He has a promised land for your life. And you know what? You might be praying for healing. But today God is wanting you to have a new expectation in your world. Because just maybe the healing is after that prayer. Just maybe the healing is after the 100th prayer in your life. Just like for Moses, the promised land was after the 40 years. But just maybe he didn't know that in that moment, that was the one defining moment for him. Speak or strike, it's your choice. He struck and he didn't get the promised land. Church, will we speak? Will we speak today? Will we speak today? Come on. The Spirit of God is in you. Will you speak today? Will you believe that your words will create today? Will you believe that your words will speak a new thing into being in your world? If you're struggling with finances right now, can you continue to speak faith? Can you continue to speak faith today? Can you continue to lift that expectancy? Every time you get a knockback, would you choose to rise up with a new expectancy? That I've been knocked back 99 times, but maybe today the 100th is the day of my breakthrough. Can we choose from today that next Sunday when we walk through these doors, we're going to choose to walk through with an expectancy, with a faith that today is the day where worship is nuts and uncontrollable and no one will get up and preach? That next week Pastor Mike's going to struggle to even get up here because of the power of God? Can we have an expectancy, song leaders and musicians, that when we get up and play, that the people won't be able to go home, that this will go on for hours today? Church, can we come with an expectancy that when you lift your hands, just by you lifting your hands, the miracle's going to happen? Your son, your daughter, something's going to shift in their lives, in their minds, in their spirit. They're at home, but you're in the house. You are the funnel, the power that the Spirit of God's going to flow through. As you raise your hands, they're opening their hearts. Amen. As you lift your faith, their faith is starting to grow again. Amen. Can we have that sort of expectancy in our world? I want to speak a new day into your life. I want to speak a new authority into your thinking. A new anointing. Come on, if you receive that, why don't you stand to your feet right now? If you're prepared to receive a fresh anointing right now, why don't we just lift our hands before God? I might grab the worship team to come up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on, just start asking God, Father God, would you anoint me? Would you anoint me? Would you anoint me? Will you let it be me today? Father God, I'm desperate. I want to cry out like Moses cried out. Father God, that you would do the miracle that's required in my family. Oh, Lord God, as Moses had the need for those millions of people, Lord God, today I just have one need. Father, today I just have one need. I just have two needs. I just need my finances fixed, Lord God. Father, today I just need a prosperity in my world. Father, today I just need this addiction broken in my world. Come on, church, let's start to cry out right now. If that's you, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, will you move in this place right now? Will you move in this place right now, Lord God? Will you move in this place right now, Lord God? Thank you, Jesus. I just want to read a few scriptures. You can keep your hands up. You can do whatever you want to do. Colossians 2:10 says this. We are complete in Him who is the head of all principalities and powers. Expectation today says, I will have life, I will smile, and I will see today different than yesterday. Ephesians 2:5 says, I am alive with Christ. So expectation would say, today I will have life, I will smile, and I will see today different than yesterday. Romans 8:2 says this, I am free from the law of sin and death. Amen. Amen. Do you have expectancy today? My sin nature is no longer defining who I am, because I am free today. Isaiah 54 says this, I am far from oppression, and fear does not come near me. Come on. Today, if you're struggling with depression, the Word of God wants to wash you right now. That says you are far from oppression. In other words, oppression is that direction and you are walking this direction. And fear does not come near me. Father God, we just pray in this place right now that the spirit of fear would be broken. Father God, that today we will not be fearful to believe for something just a little bit out there. Father God, today we will not be fearful to come to you. Father God, today we will not be fearful in our world from people, but we choose to say that depression is not near me. 1 John 5:18 says, I am born of God, and the evil one does not touch me. Do you believe that today? 1 John 4:4, greater is he who's in me than he is in the world. Do you believe that today? Yeah. Romans 1:7 says, I am greatly loved. Do you believe you're greatly loved today? Yeah. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, I am a believer and the light of the gospel shines in my mind. Do you believe that today? The gospel will shine in your mind. Let's place an expectation on the spirit realm today that God has greater plans for your life. God has healing for you today. God wants to place hope in you again today. God wants to fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit today. He wants to baptize you today with the Holy Spirit. God wants to breathe fire into your bones again today. God wants to raise you up to lead, to preach, to declare, to conquer, to pray, to dream, to sing, to help, to support, to be the answer, and to be filled with the joy of the Spirit today. Does anybody in the house believe that today? Come on, let's give God a shout if you believe that. Let's receive it. Come on, church, we can do better. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the one that created you, ordained you, set you apart. Let's give God a shout. Come on. We can give Him better than 10 seconds. Let's give God praises right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, today we choose to have a new expectancy in our lives. Father, we choose to lift our eyes. We choose, Lord God, to have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Lord has to say. We choose today, Lord God, that I will be a son, a daughter of faith. Father, I choose today, come on, if this is you, church, I choose today to be bold. I choose today to speak out and declare the goodness of God to those in my world. I choose today to be a voice, a light that declares the name of Jesus Christ, that glorifies you. I just want to finish with saying this, you know, do you remember that part in the scripture towards the end that said, God said to Moses that you didn't hallow me? What that means is that he didn't glorify God. See, when God places an expectation in our lives for something fresh and new, God, when God wants you to break through in areas you've never done, and He places that seed in you, when we don't step into that person that God is putting before us, we take and we rob the glory that belongs to the Lord. We take the glory that belongs to the Lord. But in reverse, you want to glorify God? You want to lift His name high? I'm sure we all want to do that, amen? Does anyone in this house want to just lift the name of Jesus above every name? Want the world to see and to know that the Lord is good? The love of Jesus Christ? We do that when we fulfill the expectation that's on our lives. We hallow the name of Jesus. We glorify the name of Jesus. We do a couple of things. We make Papa God proud. God lifting up His names. But when we fulfill the call, the expectation on our lives, the world sees it. Israel would have seen and be led to know that the Lord still reigns after 40 years of desert time. The world, your workplace, your friends, your family, they don't see God when we give up, but they see God when we break through, amen? They don't see God when we allow doubt and insecurity take us out, but they see God through us and in us, and God transforms their lives when they see you and I facing the battle and going, you know what, right here, there is the table prepared before me, and Jesus Christ is on the other side, and I choose to stand, and I choose to walk through this battle in faith and expectation that the Lord is still good today like He always has been. Amen. Do you believe that today? Awesome. 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 Well, I'm just a little bit excited. But church, right now, you know, just being, as we've been preaching and having all this love together, there's people here today that you want to know this God as your God. You're compelled. You're compelled right now in this moment. I've got to know Him. I've got to have a relationship with Him.